Okay, the next few questions are various subject matter. The first deals with public health and safety. Please explain whatever research and resulting evidence was conducted to assure that those living in close proximity to the transmission lines are not exposed to increased levels of radiation or other impacts on their health.
Okay. I'm going to refer this question to Ken Bowes. Ken is an Eversource Vice President of Engineering.
Thank you, Bill. The application is very specific on the details of this. Its appendixes 37 and 38, and those are sponsored by Dr. William Bailey. He's also filed pre-file testimony in this case, and he goes into great detail. Several hundred pages of evidence is being supplied, and his conclusion is that it is not an adverse health impact from either the DC portion of the line or the AC portion of the line. He goes into a lot of the details about the measurements that are taken, both directly under the lines and at the right-of-way edge, and that data is available in there. So without a specific location, it's difficult to answer a specific level of magnetic fields, but it is a very detailed and comprehensive analysis.
Next question is for the committee. So I'll answer it. Why was Londonderry High School chosen as a site to hold tonight's meeting? After all, the Northern Pass does not affect this town. It ends in Deerfield. Well, we chose it because we have to have we have to have five separate public information sessions, one in each county, and we then have to have five public hearings, one in each county. And as you will see, if you go to both a public information session and a public hearing, a lot of the same thing goes on. There will be an opportunity for public statements, an opportunity for questions. There will be a presentation from the applicant. So in order to accommodate as many people as we can for each county, we try to have our meetings in places, number one, that can accommodate a significant number of people, and number two, are accessible to folks. So in this particular case, for Rockingham County, our choice was to do this particular meeting here, and then the public hearing in Deerfield. We are doing similar things in the other counties. Just imagine what Coos County must be like, or Grafton County. So we're doing similar things. We're trying to hold public hearing, where we can, the public information session and the public hearing in separate places to allow as much access to all members of the public in those counties as possible. Next question goes to historic resources, and it's a long one. The consultants for, and actually some of this has to be answered by the Site Evaluation Committee as well, so I'll take that part. But the consultants for the Section 106 review of the National Historic Preservation Act have not yet completed the identification phase of the review, and there is no guarantee that this will be complete before the Site Evaluation Committee's deadline for a decision on Northern Pass. Word is that the Site Evaluation Committee is going to rely primarily on the historic and cultural resource information provided by the consultants working on the Section 106 review rather than the information prepared by the consultants hired to compile it for the SEC. Is this in fact the case? Let me answer for that first part of the question for the SEC first. The SEC will consider all information that is provided to it by historic resource consultants, whether it comes from the Section 106 process or whether it was prepared specifically for the Site Evaluation Committee's review. The Site Evaluation Committee is not cabined by the Section 106 process. The Site Evaluation Committee does appreciate that process, and in other dockets, that process has been, in some cases, the only method for the review of historic resources. But in this case, to the extent that there are two separate studies, and they are submitted to the Site Evaluation Committee, the Site Evaluation Committee will consider whatever is submitted to them. Well, I suspect that other parties to the project may have their own historic reviews to submit. Council for the Public may choose to address this issue. Other interveners may choose to address this issue. And the Site Evaluation Committee will consider all of the evidence that's put in on historic resources or any other factor that the Site Evaluation Committee is required to consider. Now the question goes on. If so, given the slow pace of the Section 106 review, can you comment on how the public can be assured that the Site Evaluation Committee will have the information they need on the impacts on historic places and landscapes to make an informed decision? I'm going to let somebody from the company answer that in a moment, but I'm going to just tell you one thing that the Site Evaluation Committee has done in the past. It doesn't mean that they will do that in this particular case, but they are authorized by statute to do that. Site Evaluation Committee can issue conditions that require the applicant, in order to maintain its certificate, to continue in processes for other state or federal agencies. And in the past, in dockets, we have made a condition of the granting of a certificate, the requirement that the applicant continue in the 106 review process. Sometimes it required reports back to the Site Evaluation Committee. In other cases, it's required a couple years down the road, actually, a mitigation meeting to determine the final mitigation requirements. So there is a process where some studies can go beyond the issuance of a certificate if the Site Evaluation Committee determines to issue a certificate. And I guess somebody from the company should address the whole Section 106 process. There's a suggestion in here that it's so slow or it's not going to be completed. And that's probably an answer that the public wants. What's going on with that?
I'm going to refer this question to Sherilyn Wydell. She's our historic resources expert.
Good evening. My name is Sherilyn Wydell. I'm with Wydell Preservation Services. The Department of Energy, as a federal agency issuing the presidential permit, is responsible for the Section 106 process. We have been working the consultants on the survey that has been completed for Northern Pass with the Division of Historical Resources. And Northern Pass has committed to doing an inventory of the properties that the Department of Energy, in consultation with Division of Historical Resources, determines need to be done for this project, for all 192 miles that need to be considered. That is in a memorandum of understanding that was signed just a few weeks ago between Northern Pass and the Division of Historical Resources.
Thank you. And the last question that I have here is, will the Northern Pass benefit only Eversource customers?
No. Hopefully it's clear from some of the materials I shared earlier that the benefits of this project extend way well beyond simply the Eversource customers, and there are many different aspects of benefits that extend throughout New Hampshire, whether it's tax benefits, job opportunities, energy cost savings. These are all spread throughout New Hampshire. Many of them are benefits locally for communities up and down the route that are hosting the line. So there's widespread benefit both economically, environmentally. So it's not true that it's just Eversource customers. It's all New Hampshire customers will see even the energy cost saving benefit, not just New Hampshire customers, but New England customers. So widespread benefits, multiple facets to them, and they extend throughout New Hampshire and in many instances elsewhere in New England.